Susan, you want to pick up the mic and go for it?
Yeah, I'm Susan. I'm addicted to nicotine. And no need to be embarrassed about not knowing how much time I have. I haven't been coming to Vonner for very long. I started maybe 2 months ago. I was really happy to find you folks. A friend of mine who is disabled has been going to Vonner for a while because she can't get out to meetings a lot. And I am getting ready to do a lot of traveling, and then by the end of the year, probably spending a lot of time in Mexico. I was there last week, and I meant to come to Vonner. I was so excited because I, like, saw that it worked and everything. And then as it happened, at the particular time that the meeting was happening, I didn't have a ride back from the beach. What a shame. Anyways, the last time I had to take nicotine was December 31, 2004. And there happened to be a meeting. I'm in Oakland, California. And there happened to be a Nicotine Anonymous that night, that meeting that night. And it was really strange because I had been sick with a really bad respiratory infection since about the middle of December. But that was nothing new. By that point, I had been smoking for 40 years, and so I had been sick a lot. I had smoked through, a dozen strep throats and, you know, two dozen colds and flus and all the rest of that. And I don't know why this time was different than all the other times, but as I am literally in agony trying to draw some cigarette smoke into my lungs on about the 12th or 13th of December of that year, I had the thought that maybe the same higher power that had relieved me a few years before of the obsession to use alcohol could and would relieve me of the obsession to use nicotine. And I'd heard for quite a while advertisements. I'm one of those people who used to just hate stop smoking advertisements on the television. They just drove me nuts. And before I was blessed with the ability to be somebody who does not use nicotine, I thought they drove me nuts because they were so self-righteous. And now I think, it's half of that. But the other half is that inside myself, I was saying, I can't ever be someone who does not use nicotine. It's impossible. It's just not possible. So it was just like guilt 24/7. So, I called this 1-800-NO-BUTS number that we have in the state of California, and they sent me a packet of information. And in there included was information that there was such a thing as Nicotine Anonymous, which I had never realized. I had never known anybody who was part of that. And that there was a meeting close to my home, and they suggested that you set a quit date. And on the one hand, it is true that December 31, that's kind of that's a good quit date, right? Start the new year. I'm not big into New Year's resolutions. I don't like anybody telling me what to do, including me, so I don't make resolutions very much. But this time, as it happened, for about, 10 years, I had been buying my cigarettes through the Internet from American Indian sources, which meant that I did not have to pay any taxes on them because I'm way too cheap to do that. And I bought them 5 cartons at a time. The first of the month, I would buy 5 cartons. Every once in a while, I would have to supplement myself by going to the store and buying another carton, paying retail. That really hurt my cheap soul. I said, I could probably make it till the end of December and not do my my usual 10-day before the end of the month Internet order. And So I read all the literature, and I was thinking about it, and I was actually even keeping a journal, which I hate journaling, but I decided that I would do it anyway because, and this is just for me, the way that I had to talk to myself, because the thought of putting down cigarettes was so terrifying, and there was no other word for it. I was just terrified to be without it. So every day I would write, if this is too scary when the time comes, I don't have to do it. I can go back on. I didn't tell anybody I was thinking about quitting. And given my life, nobody would have believed me anyway. It's like I was 100% identified in my mind and everybody who knew me's mind as a smoker, because I was one of those smokers who didn't give a rat's ass what anybody thought or felt or needed around me. And I would smoke in the most outrageous of circumstances. And I have spent a fair amount of time in the last 3+ years trying to do a lot of 9-step work, trying to do a lot of step work, but specifically 9-step work around smoking. So anyway, I didn't want to tell anybody because I didn't want to be ashamed if it didn't happen. So the time got closer, and then I remember very clearly on December 20th of that year, I like went to make my order, and then I said, oh, no, that's right. I'm not going to do an order. And that, I had this is God's own truth. I had to go to bed for 2 days. I could not face the thought of being without cigarettes. I called in sick at work, and I just went to bed. And I highly recommend sleeping and napping as a way to deal with going crazy behind not having nicotine. When I actually did, you know, have my first 24 hours, I slept, I swear, about 20 of those hours I slept. And I slept a good deal of the next about 4 months, I think, before I finally felt able to function in the world. And, you know, my higher power was very kind to me, because most people can't be sleeping their lives away, and most of the time I can't. But that happens to be the one and only time in my life that I was on unemployment. So I, you know, if I needed to stay in bed most of the time, I stayed in bed most of the time. And after, 30, 40 days maximum, I was blessed with the end of my physical need for nicotine. It didn't take long at all for me to realize that my body was fine. My body was better, obviously, without it. About the only thing I ever substituted for nicotine was water. I did then, and I still do, and drinking water almost all the time. But what happened was that my mental obsession with nicotine and my mental obsessions that caused me to use nicotine as a way to deal with life just were geometrically increased. You know how at least in our meeting, it said, we say something like, is it in the promises? I can't remember. Something about, you know, having better access to our feelings, sometimes to the temporary peril of those around us. And boy, the only thing that kept people around me from just telling me to shut the heck up and get out of their faces was that they were so wonderfully supportive of the fact that I was actually not using nicotine. And it was and continues to be a daily miracle. I love it when I see people that for a few years, I went to a conference the other week and saw somebody I hadn't seen for 5 years. And after we'd been together like less than an hour, he said, Susan, you're getting better. You haven't gone outside for a cigarette yet. And I said, I haven't gone outside for a cigarette in more than 3 years. And after he picked himself up off the floor from fainting and dead away in shock, no, he didn't really do that, but he said, nobody who knows you would think that you would ever be able to live your life without cigarettes. And I said, I know. You know, it is a testament to, I mean, I do allow myself to be proud of doing the work on a daily basis, of not, to keep me in a place where I won't pick up a cigarette. But mostly, it's clear to me that it's about my relationship with a higher power, and it's about my relationship with other people in recovery who know two things that I need to remember on a daily basis. And one thing is that this is a nasty, unbelievably powerful addiction. And, you know, the old puff away from a pack a day, except for me it was three packs. And that there is always hope, that there is always, for everybody, anybody who has a desire to stop using nicotine, I think, I'm going to go out on a limb here, I think that we can promise them that your day will come. If you keep tending to that little teeny tiny spark of desire until it turns into a big flame, you know, that just is the most important thing that I had to do. I had to say not smoke, and it's not anymore, but it enables me to do anything that is important to me. I absolutely love my group here. It's we have a little joke because, you know, there aren't that many meetings around of Nicotine Anonymous, and so we joke that we can't do it one day at a time here. We have to do it 1 week at a time because we, you know, don't get to see each other but every Monday night. But we managed to make it, and of course we got our phone list, and of course, like most people that I've ever met in the rooms of recovery, we rarely use them unless the sky is falling. And now I've got Vonner, which is just the coolest thing for me. So, you know, I don't really know. Maybe I'll go back to the beginning and then skip the 40 years, because y'all know, if you're in here, in this room, it's because nicotine got the better of you. It's because you lost your ability to choose and be one of those nice little social smokers who had a cigarette whenever you wanted to. If that was how you smoked, I really doubt that you would be here in this room with us. If you smoked like I did, it's because you're an addict, because you're addicted to that stuff, and letting go of it is hard, hard, hard. So that's what I did. You know, for 40 years, it got harder. I would say that I probably stopped enjoying smoking somewhere around my 20-year mark. I don't know. But anyway. So I was 16 years old the first time I had a cigarette because all the girls were going out to have a cigarette together, and I was not very popular, and all the popular girls were going out to have a cigarette together, so I went with them. And I would say it took about 2 years. It probably wasn't until I was 18 and went to college before I was totally dependent on them. And then for 38 years, I was totally dependent on them. I could not, I've heard somebody in my meeting talk about how cigarettes were her punctuation. It's like, you know, if she needed a comma for a pause, light a cigarette. If she was at the end of the sentence, light a cigarette. If she was startled and needed an exclamation point, light a cigarette. If she was confused and had a question mark, light a cigarette. If it was time to go do something else and make a new paragraph, light a cigarette. You know, and somebody told me, this really surprised me, somebody told me recently that they had a rule that they never dated anybody who smoked. And I said, oh my gosh, I just remembered that I used to have a rule that I would never date anybody who didn't smoke because I didn't want the grief. I didn't want people telling me what to do and what not to do. So really, I don't think I have too much more to say. I really, the reason that I, when I joined the meeting tonight and they asked for a volunteer, Gary asked for a volunteer to speak, the reason that I said yes, is basically out of gratitude, and I've always been taught in the rooms of recovery that the way you show your gratitude is to do service, gratitude as a feeling, not so important. Gratitude as an action, that's where it's at. So I am, again, very, very grateful to have discovered you folks, and I hope to be a regular at this meeting for a long time. And, I have to say one other thing. We got, at our Monday meeting, we got to have somebody who is a regular at Vonner come and be in the flesh with us and speak to us, and it was really great. he's sitting in our room last Monday night, and he finishes this excellent chair, and he says, "Go ahead." And half the people in the room cross their eyes and say, "Huh? What's he talking about?" And so, but I knew, and so this is my time. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and go ahead.
Thank you, Suzanne, for a great super share. Thanks.